And turn in your Bibles now, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 28, the entire chapter of 1 Kings 9. First Kings 9, verse 1, this is God's word that he has revealed to us, his people. Now it came about when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built by putting my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you will walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised to your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons indeed turn away from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And the house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight, so Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And they will say, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and adopted other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore the Lord has brought all this adversity on them. It came about at the end of 20 years in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Hiram, king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress, timber and gold according to all his desire. Then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. So Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they did not please him. He said, what are these cities which you have given me, my brother? So they were called the land of Kebel to this day. And Hiram sent to the king 100 talents of gold. Now this is the account of the forced labor which King Solomon levied to build the house of the Lord, his own house, the Millo, the wall of Jerusalem, Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and captured Gezer and burned it with fire and killed the Canaanites who lived in the city, and had given it as a dowry to his daughter Solomon's wife. So Solomon rebuilt Gezer and the lower Beth Horon and Baaloth and Tamar in the wilderness in the land of Judah, and all the sword cities which Solomon had, even the cities for his chariots and the cities for his horsemen, and all that it pleased Solomon to build in Jerusalem and Lebanon and in all the land under his rule. As for all the people who were left of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, who were not of the sons of Israel, their descendants who were left after them in the land, whom the sons of Israel were unable to destroy utterly from them, Solomon levied forced laborers, even to this day. But Solomon did not make slaves of the sons of Israel, for they were men of war, his servants, his princes, his captains, his chariot commanders, and his horsemen. These were the chief officers who were over Solomon's work, 550, who ruled over the people during doing the work. As soon as Pharaoh's daughter came up from the city of David to her house, which Solomon had built for her, then he built the Millo. Now three times in a year Solomon offered burnt offerings and peace offerings on the altar which he built to the Lord, burning incense with them on the altar which was before the Lord. So he finished the house. King Solomon also built a fleet of ships in Ezion-Geber, which is near Eloth on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent his servants with the fleet, sailors who knew the sea, along with the servants of Solomon. They went to Ophir and took 420 talents of gold from there and brought it to King Solomon. And that is God's word. And so the Lord appears to Solomon a second time, it says, answers Solomon's prayer, declares and authorizes the temple as a means of grace where Israel will have access to his sovereign and caring presence. In verses 4 and 5, the Lord assures Solomon that he will enjoy Davidic covenant blessing so long as he lives a Davidic-like life. The verses that follow, however, say in verses 6 and follow, 6 through 9, there say that if Solomon or his successors, those who would be king after him, prove faithless, the people will lose their place in the land, and the temple will become the evidence of that disaster. And so we could say the royal kingly faithlessness will bring judgment on the people, all the people. And this may seem odd, but Yahweh is so kind to tell Solomon to be upfront with what will actually happen if he or others follow him are to be found faithless. It's the same thing we saw this morning in Deuteronomy, that God's Yahweh's mercy to his people, giving them upfront what will happen. They're not taken back, they're not caught off guard. And similar warnings are also given to us, many in the book of Hebrews, about the high cost, the high stakes of apostasy. And they're quite similar to the warnings here. So our God's a merciful God to give us these warnings. And so be warned about being faithless. To you who are God's people, you are to remain faithful to the Lord only in the strength and righteousness of Jesus Christ, not on your own strength, and not on your own righteousness, which by itself is weakness and unrighteousness. The rest of the chapter gives us a summary of Solomon's activities as he served as king of Israel. We might say as he served as king, a summary of his whole life, for the rest of his life. His interactions with the foreign king who helped him build the temple and his house, to making sure that Israel celebrated the three annual feasts as commanded by the Lord in Jerusalem, including all the ceremonial law during his reign, keeping the ceremonial law. And then finally Solomon, In a positive light in what he did, we see that he handled the world economy and trade. This section of Scripture showing Solomon in a positive light might give us how godly kings are to deal as leaders over nations. Verses 15 through 24, they are to take up the responsibility of defense of the nation. Verse 25, they are to maintain orthodoxy as it pertains to their position and as their position allows, not overstepping that position. And then verses 26 through 28, venturing and profiting and world economy and trade. And all these things, however, we should not forget verses 6 through 9 and verses 4 to 5. And we are to remain faithful and not be faithless. As God's leaders, as the people of God, you are to be faithful to the Lord in all your dealings, and all what you do, and all that you think, and all that you say, and love Him in all things. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You. We thank You that You have given us this Word. We thank You that You have given us not only a glimpse of a call to faithfulness unto You, to love You in all things, to serve You in all things, but also the warnings of, with Your great mercy, sharing that with us, that we would be warned that what will happen if we do remain faithless, if we do not trust in the righteousness and strength of Jesus Christ for us, what will become of us? We thank You that You enable Your people to be faithful, that even when we sin, we are still seen as faithful because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ for us, working in us. So, Father, we ask that You would be glorified, that You would be praised, that you would make your people faithful to you, that you would make all of us here faithful servants, that you would make those who are in as officers of this church even more faithful, that you would protect your church, that you would cause the gospel to continue to go forth, that you would cause the duties that you require to be preached, that we would hear them and see them and follow after you in the strength of Christ and in union with Him. Our Father, we would plead with you that you would make us holy. We hate sin. We love righteousness. And so make it true in us that you would put to death our sin. Your Spirit working in us, that we would not quench the Spirit, that we would not grieve the Spirit, but that you would work in a mighty way to put to death the sin that remains. And if there be any here to bring the gift of faith, to change that heart from stone to flesh, as Jesus called Nicodemus to be born again, born from above, and to follow after Him. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who is the Creator, a God who is the covenant Lord, Yahweh, who's always faithful to your promises, who is long-suffering with us, your people, who continue to rebel. Father, we thank you that you are the God who delivered over to us, or for us, Jesus Christ, to the point of death, even death on a cross, that we would have life forever. Now cause us to continue to meditate upon those truths now, as we continue worshiping you, for we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.